Hey John, how are you doing? Thank you for doing this interview today. I just want to say I'm a huge Warbringer fan. One of my friends introduced me to your band there about a few years back, and I was like, I need to listen to some new thrash metal, and sure enough, there you were. So I really appreciate the band and the music you play, and I really enjoy it. And I
Well,
am
thank
not just saying that, I'm a huge fan too. So anyways.
I was in it for you to just say.
So the band has a new album coming out on May 14th on Napalm Records. It's called Wrath and Ruin. Can you the first single, A Better World, is getting great reviews. I think a few of the websites are really giving it a positive review, which is good. What can we expect from the rest of the album? And can you tell me about the songs on the album? Or tell me about first about that song, and then we can do the rest of the songs.
All right. So first off, this record I'd say generally leans a more like extreme slash thrash metal hybrid than the other records. So which I think already kind of leaned in that direction some. We tuned the record to D. Previously, we were E flat. First record's E standard. And basically, I'd say almost like leans into a different subgenre. So if you hear A Better World, it's actually not that good. There really isn't any song we could put of the record sound overall because all deliberately from each other. So just the first three, for instance,
You're breaking
which I
up somewhere.
described. I'm in the middle of the woods. This was, we have the Sword and the Cross, described as like an epic thrasher. We have A Better World, which I would say is like almost a melodic death song, although the up tempo early kind of like at the gates or something is how I've kind of described it instrumentally. And then Neuromancer's like a death metal crusher. Jackhammer's like a brutal, straightforward thrash number. Through Glass Darkly is epic. Strike from the Skies is sort of like speed thrash a la Firepower Kills or something. Cage of Air is like blackened prog thrash, and then Alassum is almost immortal sounding black thrash. So there's a lot of extreme influence, and every song just about almost like veers into a different style or genre. And we're just kind of stretching our legs. We're doing all the kind of variations of all the styles we've done in our career, and just trying to push forward further in those different directions. So the song like Neuromancer, for instance, we've had kind of death metal leaning songs and crushers and stuff like Crushed Beneath the Tracks before, and I'm like, well, what if we push that a little further? And that's kind of what all of these are doing. Regarding A Better World, I really like how that came out. It's a quick, catchy number. The tempo stays high throughout. And I thought I sort of had an interesting lyrical angle on that. The title sounds, sunshine and rainbows, but because of us, it's of course like grimly sarcastic. And I just, also one of the things that kind of fueled the energy on this record was we put out Weapons of Tomorrow in 2020, not the best year to put out a record, and we kind of stuck inside for a while. I had a lot of really negative feelings about that because I'm like, God damn, I've been putting my whole self into this project for Warbringer is a little over 20 years old now. We started at the end of 2024 from the beginning of our garage days. So I've been 20 years and counting now, and
Happy
it
anniversary.
felt yeah. So well, when we put out Weapons, it was like bittersweet because we had this great response to that record. We had the band had fallen apart in 2014. We rebuilt all this momentum from Woe to Weapons, and then we can't tour and we're stuck inside again. I'm like, God damn it.
Yeah.
Instead, all this negative feelings of it, I'm like, I put so much work into this, and I'm like, we've gotten somewhere, but then on the other hand, it felt like we're constantly having these major setbacks, and I can't actually like earn a living doing this, which you kind of need to if you're going to spend 20 years on it. So just resentment for that, I suppose, and as well as how like we got kind of boxed in for COVID and couldn't tour Weapons until 3 years later, which isn't what we want. And then I got into a bunch of like social theory stuff. And one of the things that you'll notice about today is, like, we have these existential problems in the world that are pretty dire, and people don't even like to talk about it, but think about
it. Pretty crazy out there right
now. Well, the answer to, like, fundamental stuff that, like, threatens the future of organized human life that's going on right now is, like, we're going to stick our head in the sand, you know, we're going to stick our head in the sand, we're not going to fix it, and you know, the rich will get richer, you'll get poorer, everything will cost more next year, and you won't, and you'll get paid the same, and the year after that will be worse, and that's, like, what we can realistically expect, and, you know, that's depressing as fuck. And I was thinking, like, someone's got to make, like, put that idea into words. We've got more surveillance now on this freaking phone I'm talking to you on than they did in communist East Germany or whatever, right, where they had a really good surveillance network there. The Stasi were infamous for that. We got, and that's ghetto compared to what our phone does. I've written songs like Hunter Seeker about that idea. And just all these things adding up, like, we're going to use, it's kind of a core theme of the band, but the worst up is we're going to use technology to make everything worse instead of better, the opposite of progress, whatever.
Yeah, this AI stuff coming out is crazy.
Well, and I want to hit that from, like, a personal angle, you know, from what it does to, like, me and on an emotional level. So that's what this lyric was about. And I think that at least it hasn't been done heavily. I think often when metal bands try to do modern social commentary, they end up a little, like, on the nose, or they'll be, and I just want to, like, I get those themes in there, but in a, like, bleaker, more cynical way that doesn't feel cheesy, at least. So it seemed like the people reacted to that element of it, because I feel like that's a feeling that a lot of people I talk to have as well. So I'm pretty proud of the sort of lyrical angle on the record and where it's going conceptually. This one's less about, like, the battlefields of the past and future, kind of like, which is our stock and trade. There's a little of that. And more about kind of like your existence in society today on a day-to-day, personal, internal level. And sort of like what living in all this, what seems to be turning into some kind of cyberpunk dystopia that we're living through. I wrote a song, Neuromancer, because I read that, and I hadn't read that before, and it's relentlessly dark, and I loved it. And I'm like, oh shit, this is quite prescient, some of the stuff he's talking about there, and just the vibe, you know, there's like an AI reconstruction of his friend who's dead, and the AI reconstruction of his friend's personality acts exactly like his friend, except it'll like repeat a phrase twice in a weird way that the person wouldn't have. It's something he would have said, but he wouldn't have said it twice like that. He's glitching a bit. And a bit where the guy, the AI reconstruction of the main character's friend says, like, when we're done with this job, please delete me. You know, like, I don't want to exist like this. And that kind of sense and stuff, it hits a certain emotional resonance for me, I think. So I'm trying to get a lot of those just, like, bleak inner negative vibes in there. And I think it's a different angle and sort of just a different artistic way to go for this record. Not everything's like that, but that's kind of central focus. And there's a lot of kind of focus on what you might call class power, because more and more I'm like, if I look at myself realistically, I'm some kind of like modern neo-peasant, you know, like I managed, wife and I saved up for years. We managed to buy this house. Now the bank owns my ass, you know, for the foreseeable future. And so is the insurance company, and I am owned. I'm an indenture, basically. And so are you probably, if you're listening, you know. No, just I wanted to, and I'm thinking metal to me isn't some like we're pissed. There are real reasons to be pissed off and to scream into a microphone as your artistic outlet, and there's real reasons to connect to that. People say sometimes, might say, why are you into this angry, furious music? And I'm like, have you freaking looked around? Why aren't you? You know, that's sort of how I feel. And I think thrash metal, owing to its punk roots, has had that for its entire history. I think one of the things that got me into thrash in the first place was some of the stuff they're angry around circa 1986 or whatever. Like, none of those things have been fixed. Nuclear weapons still exist. We're still going to wreck the planet, and we're still going to steal most of the wealth for a few people and trample on Cross, basically, you know? So all of that's in the classic. And I think we're just basically continuing that because as long as those are still problems, it's still worth writing about.
Exactly. Well, I really enjoy the listening to the songs and then getting in depth with the lyrics and stuff. It's really cool to somebody's actually covering this stuff. So you also did a live album too to go with this. Can you tell me about that and what made you decide to?
Well, more or less, so we're renowned as a pretty darn good live band, as far as I know, and I think for a good reason. I think we give you one of the most furious thrash shows you can see from anyone. So something we're really proud of, and we just wanted to put some of that on record, put out some official live material. So on this extensive Europe tour we did last year, we had Bob, our sound guy, record everything basically, and he compiled some good versions of it, did a little studio treatment, and we're putting it on there. So it's just a cool way to like hear Warbringer live, and I think, you know, you'll see we're a pretty tight and good sounding band, and it's just a cool thing to have. You know, we haven't really done live recordings, and we've been a workhorse live band for our whole career. I think I've done at least 1500 concerts in my life. Wow. That's on the low end. Out, to be honest, but I know it's at least that many.
Well, I do enjoy live albums, so I'm looking forward to that part of the two to get to, to listen to that. And I've never seen the band live yet, so hearing it on the album will be really interesting, and hopefully I get to see you guys soon too. So.
Yeah, where are you at?
I'm in Toronto. I think you guys may have came here last year, but I'm not too sure.
If you'll see us around the end of March, beginning of April, somewhere around there. We're about to West Canada tour for that period. So you'll see us. We're definitely going to Toronto.
Awesome. I will definitely be there, and I'll make sure I get my album signed from you guys and all that cool stuff. So.
Awesome. Sure we will, man.
Awesome. We're going to talk about some of the albums that you already previously done. Walking into Nightmares was produced by Gary Holt of Exorcist. What was it like working with him, and do you have a favorite song off that album?
Well, waking into nightmares. It's not like walking into one. It's like you wake up and you're still in the night.
Why did they put walking into nightmares? Oh my god.
A lot of people do that, and that's fine. It's the same letters. It's close, so I don't begrudge it. Just the title's
forgive
cooler.
Me on that. I know the title of the album, so I'm just kind of rushing.
Title is because John Locks, who is our guitar player on the first four records and founding member of the band, used to have like these terrifying lucid dreams and then wake up in the middle of them and be like unable to move and that kind of sleep paralysis stuff. I've never had that, but he did, and we got a really cool title out of it. Waking into Nightmares, I think, is the first, like, really good record we did. I like the first record for what it is, but for me, second record is when we kind of start to find our own sound and style, and it sets us on the course we're on today. And we still love playing Severed Reality and Living in a Whirlwind Live. What was your question regarding the record again?
I just wanted to know if you had a favorite song off the album at all.
Severed Reality. That one's just chaotic to tell, and I love the that part is planned live.
And also, what really got me hooked on Warbringer was the album Weapons of Tomorrow. I believe I had that as my favorite album of 2020. My favorite songs off the album are The Black Hand Reaches Out and Defiance of Hate. Do you have a personal favorite song off that album?
For straight banger, I think Firepower Kills is as good of a straight thrasher as we've ever
done. Yeah, I like that one too.
I have some of my best lines on that, the whole outro segment. I really love some of the rhymes and stuff that are there, and just the riffs. And then I really like Glorious End. Defiance of Fate's pretty up there for me too, I gotta say. So, but really, I think that one is one of the most consistently strong throughout. But for me, my favorite Warbringer record so far is got to be between Vanquished and Weapons.
Nice. Good choice. I see the band has done some real cool covers in the past. Did you plan on doing any more covers in the future? I don't think you put any on this album, but do you see the band doing some more covers?
We, We did do two bonus tracks for the Wrath and Ruin sessions, and guess I'll tell you what they are. Why not? We did one that's kind of in our lane, Dark Angel, Merciless Death, which was a lot of fun. I love that one. I loved it since we started the band. And then we did one you wouldn't expect, which is Bob Dylan, Masters of War, which is musically something completely else, but thematically quite appropriate for our band. And it's a very, like, what you might call an atmospheric black metal version of that song.
I'll have to give it a listen for sure.
I think it came out... I quite like the song and the sentiment. It's very spiteful the way we do it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to check it out. I'm sure it'll be good. My favorite song of all time from Warbringer is Remain Violent. Do you have a personal favorite yourself? Or
it would be hard for me to narrow it down to one. There's quite a few, to be honest.
Yeah, you have a really, you have quite a few good songs, but.
I'd say Firepower Kills, Glorious End, title track, Woe to the Vanquished. I really like When the Guns Fell Silent. I love Shellfire. I love Severed Reality. I love Living Weapon. Hunter Seeker's great. There's a lot. And then there's some deeper cuts we don't even play as much, like Towers of the Serpent or something, I think is really good off Empires and Towers. I think the best on that one. But honestly, I don't put out a song if I don't think it's at least pretty cool. So,
you don't want to put in crappy music. I find all your all the songs are pretty cool. So, yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I think our work. I don't love them all the same, but general, like, because you feel one way when you're in the process of making it, then you feel one way like the day the record comes in the studio. The day the record comes out, you feel another way, and then however many years later, you feel a different way again. You're constantly reevaluating and kind of changing your opinion.
And a lot of bands, the song that they don't think is going to be a hit is usually the one that turns out to be a hit. So I've heard a lot of stories where bands have written songs, and it's like they don't want to put it on the album, and then they find out they put it on the album, and it's like the best, their best song. So.
Oh, yeah, I think. Paranoid by Black Sabbath was one of those, is one thing I remember here, and they threw that in as an afterthought, and it became a big hit. Rightly so. For us, in our case, Remain Violent, probably our biggest song, and that one we kind of knew, because that riff is really catchy. What happened to write that song is basically I had that phrase kind of floating around in my head regarding like some of the police stuff that was going on in the country at the time, still is, but was too. And then Carlos sent me a demo that had all these different riffs, and it kind of had that main Remain Violent riff, and it would go into almost this like thrash grind parts after. It got really chaotic, and I was like, Carlos, what if we cut every riff that wasn't that one? Because there was like 10 or 15 riffs on this demo. Get rid of all of them and just put that one in because it's the best one. And so we wrote basically a one, it's got a little more than that, but it's basically a one riff song. And that, we normally don't write that way. Normally we're throwing a lot of riffs and just guitar stuff at the listener, but here and there we just drive one home, and that one I don't know how we'll ever write something that hooky again, because that felt really inspired when we were doing it. It just came together.
Yeah, it definitely goes with the video, definitely goes with the song, and you can really tell like the Remain Violent and all these clashes and stuff going on in the video. I mean, the video was amazing. So
it sounds like a goddamn going on, that's the idea, and that riff's hard as a brick. We closed the set with that since we wrote it, basically. I don't think that we've played a show without Remain Violent in the set since Woe to the Vanquished came out.
Nice. Do you consider the highlight of your career? Do you have something that sticks out at all, or
what's that?
Do you have a highlight of your career? Do you have anything that sticks out, like playing a famous venue or
I don't like the whole idolization of people thing. I'm a huge fan of metal music and a lot of different artists, but I try to be, especially as someone who makes it, it's better to be like an astute critic of your own favorite stuff rather than a worshiper. You know what I'm saying? Right. There's a good chance my favorite band ever, though, might be Iron Maiden still. It's held up since I was a teenager.
Same with me. It goes between Judas Priest, Iron Maiden, and Black Sabbath. So depends what kind of the day of the week it is.
Yeah, if I'm ever like not jamming those periodically, it's because I don't have a pulse anymore, you know? Have you seen what I was like, telling my friend, Judas Be My Guide is super underrated. Nobody talks about that song. It's a really good one. You know, all this stuff. If I could have a dream set, Long Distance Runner, Deja Vu, and Only the Good Die Young would all be in it. Don't get enough love, I think. But anyway, we did open for Iron Maiden at the Battle of San Bernardino like 10 years ago, and that
I heard about that. Well, that was that would have been an awesome festival to go to. You guys opened it up.
It was great. I love them. I had dinner and just chatted a bit. It was like I was just on a cloud that day because you know, told me when I started the band 20 years ago, hey dude, you're gonna open for Maiden someday. I would be like, that's it. I could die happy then, and I guess I can. Yeah. You know, I did it. You know, we would do it again if asked, clearly, but we played a great show that day, I think, as we usually do, and it was just awesome. So that was probably my favorite, like, achievement.
But well, honestly, I forgot that you guys opened up that festival. It's freaking amazing. I wish I was there. I hate it. I live in Canada. We get some good shows, but festivals and stuff like that, not too many, so.
We did the, what was it, like Heavy MTL or something? That's Montreal, Quebec.
Yeah, they had one in Montreal. They had one in actually Toronto, Heavy TO or something that was called, but I missed quite a few of those shows.
Most of the festivals are in Europe, so there's like, for instance, that Maiden show wasn't, you know, it was like a one-time thing. It wasn't like a recurring festival or whatever, like some of these are. But honestly, I played with a ton of bands, like I can't even recall half of it. Exodus and Creator were big ones for me. I toured with them a while ago, but you know, I just went and saw Exodus in Tampa like a month ago. I live in Florida now. It was great. I just love, you know, and back in the day, I toured with them so much on those, like, it was like the Shovelhead Kill Machine tour when we did that. And so some of those songs they're playing, both from that era and their previous eras, whatever was in the set list then, I have completely memorized because I saw them play it like 50 times or whatever. So it was great to see they're still out there. They still shred. They still like slam on stage, which I love to see. I don't know how I'm going to keep doing it that many years from now, but I'm going to try.
Well, just stay healthy. I see Testament in the summertime in Toronto. They put on an amazing show. I don't know if you've seen them live, but
who does?
Pardon?
Who does?
Testament. I seen them in the summer there. They put on an amazing show.
Yeah, we played one show that we did. It was here's another one of the coolest shows we ever did. There was two nights in a row in Tokyo where the lineup was Warbringer, Exodus, Testament. That was great.
That
was a great show. The people who wanted thrash, they sure got it.
Awesome. So anyways, can you tell the fans how to go about to get the new album? You got your website, it's probably warbringer.com, but I'm not sure. Can you tell us?
Warbringer.com's the site. We have regular social media. It's Warbringer Music on Instagram. You know, you'll find us if you look for us. But right now, the pre-order's up because the record comes out March 14th. Pre-order's up, and there's various stuff for it on the Napalm Records website. Napalm Records, our label. You look for it there, you'll find it.
Okay, and also when I do my article for this interview, I'll put the link up too so people can go pre-order, and I'm definitely looking forward to my copy. Are you guys doing any vinyl? You're doing vinyl, correct?
We always do vinyl, yeah.
Oh, I love vinyl records, so I'm definitely going to buy that for sure. And yeah. I just want to say thank you for doing this interview today. It's my first one of 2025, so I really appreciate you doing it, and I really enjoy the band, and looking forward to seeing you when you come to Toronto, so...
Hell yeah, dude, we'll see you there. Oh, I see Maiden behind you, actually. That's sick.
I got a wall poster, and I got my hoodie on. So Yeah. You can tell they're one of my favorite bands. So.
I never get
the guitarist there, Adrian Smith, he lost his house there in the fires there.
That was pretty,
that was pretty tragic. But
that's a trip to see, because I live in the middle of nowhere in north central Florida now, because I had enough of LA in my life, but I lived in LA most of my life. Grew up there and everything, and it's very strange to see a good chunk of my home city area burning down. That's just weird. Yeah. Strangely enough, this happening like concurrent with the Better World video release, where in there one of the images we have is mass fires.
Oh wow.
The video director,
I think that might be a song in the future for you to do something about the fires there or something.
It's really strange to see
that metal brain working.
Anytime something bad that pisses you off happens, it's a good time to like pull some metal rage from it, I would say.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a crazy world out there that we live in, and I don't know how we manage to live in it, but somehow I think thrash metal really, you know, really makes to me, it makes me happy. It gets my feelings, my anger and stuff out of my body, and putting the headphones on and cranking up Warbringer. I can't go wrong with that. So anyways, thank you so much for doing this today. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you, man. Have a good one, and appreciate the interview, dude. Stay safe out there. Stay well. And to anyone who's watching, reading, whatever it is, hope you guys love the new record.